Well, it's good to be back with your pastors and with you. I've been looking forward to this all year long. I was telling your pastors in the car on the way over from the hotel, when I was younger, I'm not that old now, but when I was younger, I used to do week-long meetings. And you can get more done in a week than you can in a couple of days, and because you have more time. And then all of a sudden, there came a change in how people did meetings. You know, they went to 2-3 day seminars, and now it's almost just like a weekend moment, which is okay. But some things you just can't teach or do in a day or 2 days. But a week like this is kind of nice, and so I'm excited to be able to relax and have a good time with you. You know, God doesn't bless ignorance. You might want to write that down first. And most pastors are more concerned about you showing up than you being spiritually smart. But you got a pastor here this week, for an example, besides his own teaching ministry, all that happens here, to set out a whole week, what he calls a Bible week. Not an entertainment week, not a show-off week, but a Bible week to teach you the Bible. And there's different kinds of knowledge out there. Some people come and they go and spend $40,000 a year to go learn how to be a doctor at some school or a lawyer. And that's nice. Nothing wrong with that. But they won't spend 1 hour a week listening to a decent Bible teacher. And then they wonder why they end up with crazy kids or on the third husband or third wife, or why nothing really doesn't work for them like it does to those people and those people, and they sit there and scratch their head and get mad at governments and mad at mom and dad and mad at their school teacher and mad at everybody but themselves. There's one knowledge every human needs. That's the knowledge of God. It's the only knowledge that affects your private life. At the same time, it affects your career life. It affects your future. It affects your present. And it's the only knowledge you can take to anywhere you go in the world, in any career, any nation, any work. And the knowledge of God will make whatever you do there better. It's the only thing. If you're a doctor, the only place you can make money and excel in life is in the world of medicine. Because that knowledge only fits in one field. And that's it. If you're a lawyer, the only place that you can make money and have a career is in the world of law. That's it. You can't take law knowledge and go do a heart operation with it. True? That doesn't work that way. That's why those knowledges are good, but it's not like Bible knowledge or God knowledge. God knowledge can walk right into the operating room and help you there. God knowledge can walk into your marriage and help you there. God can walk into your business and help you there, no matter what kind of business it is. So that's why Proverbs says, and all you're getting, get understood. That's not my first verse, but I'm going to read my first verse. Let's go to Proverbs, and I'll just quote it to you. Proverbs, the third chapter. Hope you have your Bibles or your phones turned on so you can turn to the scriptures as we start here. And I wanted to start my first few moments with you on why a week like this is important to you. Why a pastor like this, you should be thankful that God gave you a pastor who will set out a week like this. Not every pastor thinks like this. And so you should be thankful you're in a good church where your pastor wants to learn the word and not just have a show. A lot of churches have left teaching the Bible and doing Bible things to being entertainment centers with a cross over their head. And that's why most of their people are nuts. Good morning, everybody. You might want to get used to my personality because I'm going to relax and enjoy myself. So you can say amen. All right. I know you don't say amen much, but I'm going to teach you that. It's a biblical word. In Proverbs, the fourth chapter, and verse 5. Solomon said, get wisdom, you crazy people. Get wisdom. Get understanding. And don't forget it. Get wisdom. Get understanding and forget it not. Underline that. And you have to take time to get understanding. Now let's go over to 2 Timothy. We're going to look at a few of these verses where it shows the importance of the knowledge of God. So when we get into our subject a little bit later, you've had the foundation that you're not wasting your time. A lot of folks think, well, I'm just, you know, Monday night church for an hour. Are you kidding me? I worked all day long, and I've got two children and a wife, and they all scream when I come home, and they want my time, and I'm tired. You want me to come to church and sit? Are you? Yeah, I do. I want you to come to the church and sit and learn something so you can be smart next week. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to read verse number 4. The Bible says he would have all people to be saved. And after you get saved, he wants all people to come under the knowledge of the truth. All right, just getting saved doesn't mean that you're smart spiritually. Just because you get born again, the greatest thing that happens when you get born again is, number one, is your dead insides come alive with Jesus in it. That's the first thing. Something that happens when you get born again, you don't have to worry about hell no more. Heaven becomes your home. But then after those two facts that really come real fast to somebody, then you have to be taught the knowledge of God. And most people just want a fire insurance policy. They just want to make sure that when they die or Jesus comes, they don't go to hell. That's what most British Christians think about Christianity. And I know the Americans do too. I'm one of them. They go, well, I'm saved. He didn't say, get saved and drink a Coca-Cola. He didn't say, get saved and just now thank God you're not going to hell. He said, get saved and, everybody say and. And come to the knowledge of the truth, the knowledge of God. So after you get saved, your next journey is you got to come to the knowledge of God. Most human beings are barely acquainted with God. They don't know him. And they don't know how God operates. That's why there's so little of his power in their life. They sing about him, but they don't know what the word says about him. They'll watch little nice, little sweet TV shows about the Lord, but they don't have any knowledge of him. And always remember this, my brother and sister. God does not bless you because you're ignorant. God can only bless you according to the amount of knowledge you have about him and his ways in your life. People say, well, I go to church. Just going and sit in a building doesn't make God bless you. But some people will go sit in a building where there's four statues of Mary, three of some saint, and they'll sit there and light candles and wonder why they still died of cancer. Just go into a building where there are statues that represent Bible characters and light a candle or sit there and hum for a little while does not get God's power to work in your life. Are you with me? But there are millions of people who think, well, I wear a cross. Well, demon-possessed people wear crosses too. Well, I go to church, and I got news for you today, and the devil goes to church too. And he usually is there early, and he leaves late. And he works in every department you don't run him out of. He gets in there and causes trouble all the time. So don't give me like, well, I go to church. Well, I can tell you, the devil goes to church too. And he's usually on the board of the church. He usually directs the church and controls it by making everybody get confused and do things and tells them they're okay as long as they just do this. And he always leads them in ways that doesn't make God show up. And it says here, I want all men, everybody in this room, everybody watching me, everybody everywhere, to be saved. That's God's first heart, that y'all get saved. And, everybody say and again. And come to the knowledge of the truth is the second thing God wants for everybody in his family. But like I said a moment ago, a lot of people think what they do impresses God. The only way you know God is impressed by you is by how much power of God works through you. God doesn't send power through just nice people. He sends power through people who have a knowledge of him and know how to cooperate with him and do as he said to live and to do. And that's why a week like this is important to you. And all you're getting, give the right knowledge. Get godly knowledge so that God can work through you in your home. He can work through you in your office. He can work through you on the underground. He can work through you on an airplane. He can work through you anywhere you go. If you have the knowledge of God in you, he can work through you to do Bible things that you see in the Bible can happen to you and through you. But if you're ignorant, it does not happen. Now, I know that word ignorance is kind of strong, but it is in the Bible. The Bible says a lot of things about ignorant people. You should read them. He calls some people that are ignorant fools because they choose to stay ignorant. That's a fool. And he calls some people, ignorant because they don't want to learn anything, so they run from where they can learn something or from the person that can help them. Like they go to a church just because it's convenient. Let me give you another verse. Everybody smile. It's a nice week, and I'm happy to be here, so there's no damnation coming. Everybody's going to be okay. Proverbs, since we'll go back to Proverbs, and let's read Proverbs 21, and I'm just basing, trying to highlight for you the first little bit of time here with you today, or tonight, on the importance of the knowledge of God. You know, in Proverbs 21 and verse 16, the person that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. That's in the Bible, my friend. I didn't make it up. I just read it to you. So get it again. The person that wanders out of the way of understanding shall live with dead people, non-victory people, non-overcoming people, negative people, complaining people, sick people, broke people, unhappy people. That's what happens when you go to a dead, dumb church that's more concerned about you just showing up and singing a nice song and not learning nothing while you're there. That's called the congregation of the dead. Good afternoon, everybody. Everybody smile. You see, when you start learning little things, all of a sudden this nicey nice Christianity doesn't add up anymore. It doesn't add up much anymore. When I go to church, well, whippy-doo. What kind of church do you go to is the question. What do you learn while you're there? Is it a club or a training camp? Does it train you in the knowledge of God and the works of God to have victory in every day of your life? It's up to you. Are you still with me? Let's go to Matthew 22 and look at another verse. Just giving you a few verses here. Now this one, I was reading this afternoon, and it jumped out and slapped me real hard. Matthew 22 and verse 29, Jesus said, he said, you do err. How? Not knowing the scriptures and not knowing the power of God. He said, churches and people that say they love God make mistakes, live in defeat, and live a life of error. Now, error does not just mean weird, really extreme, weird doctrines. It can also just mean unfruitful living, no victorious living, no happy living. Just, I love the Lord. I don't know why he won't heal me. Because maybe you don't know how to cooperate with God to get his power to come out of heaven and heal you. Just because you sit in a red chair doesn't make God want to heal you. It's the knowledge of God. What makes God show up? What makes God's power come in a room and kill cancer or give somebody a new heart or all of a sudden take anger that's been in their home for a long time, causing the marriage about to break, and just wring it out of them? Because you hear stories like that, don't you? You hear stories about it, and then we all scratch our head. Why don't that happen more often? Because most people don't know how to cooperate with God to get his power to do that. And it comes with this one thing, the knowledge of God. And let me read this verse to you again. Everybody still with me?
I'm just giving you my introduction. Verse 29, Jesus said to everybody here, people make errors or they live an error-filled life. Number one, because they don't know the Bible. They don't know the scriptures. Number two, and they don't know the power of God. That's why they make up man's doctrines. Nowhere in the Bible does it say light a candle. But how many Christians, when somebody has a trouble, goes to a Catholic church and lights a candle? Where is that in chapter and verse? Well, that's just what we do. And look what you get, a dead relative. Look what you get. The same way you walked in is the same way you walked out. You say, but Brother Roberts, that sounds real mean. Well, do you want me to teach you the word of God or just be nice and massage you with man's doctrines that are real nice but never get any results for you? It's up to you. If I'm going to get dressed, travel all over the world to teach the word of God, I'm not coming just for a hum-hum meeting. I want something to come alive inside of you that where you can get miracles by yourself in your own home, all by yourself, no matter if pastor's close or not. Because every preacher should work himself out of a job. That means teach you enough of how what the word says and how get God's power flowing in your life to where you don't need us anymore. That's the job of every church, is to get you to the place with your red shirt and your glasses and you don't need nothing anymore because you need it all by yourself. But most people can't handle that type of teaching because it offends their thinking. It offends their family traditions about Jesus and about the church and what their uncle thinks about God or what grandma said about God. And so when you start teaching the Bible to people, they get mad because you got to walk all over man's opinions about God's word and how to get God's power to show up. And so today, if you get offended, praise the Lord. That might just be your way into a new life of victory. But most people, they want to go someplace and, you know, give me an inspirational message. It makes me feel good, even though I'm as weird as I can be. Make me feel okay and let me live how I want to live and do what I want to do the way I want to do it. And don't tell me what to do. Just tell me I'm okay. That's not the Bible. That's called dumb clubs with a cross over the top of them. And that's why the miracle working power of God is rare in England. And that's why it's rare in France, rare in Canada, and rare in my country too. That's why miracle working power is rare. Because most people, even in full gospel churches today, want everybody to just tell me I'm okay and make me feel good. If you want to feel good, go get a massage. If you want to feel good, go someplace and sit in a hot tub and let bubbles make you feel good. But if you want a victorious life, you have to have the knowledge of God. Everybody still with me? Are you sure? All right. Let me give you a couple more verses you can look up a little bit later. 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in grace and grow in knowledge. So it's not a one-time impartation. It's a lifestyle of growing with God. So what we're doing this special week is great because we have a special week like this. But when we end on Sunday morning, you got to grow on Monday, though. Next Monday, you got to grow too. You just don't, well, I'm going to grow this week. In the next 3 months, I'm going to stay the same. What kind of Christian life is that? You're always supposed to keep growing in God. 3 John Verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Okay, normally we read that verse when we're talking about prosperity or about divine health, and that's great. But look at the last part of that verse, if you would, 3 John 2, even as your soul prospers. Soul prosperity means the increase of your understanding. So this verse highlights another way that we need to see the importance of gaining the knowledge of God. It highlights two things here. but it works in principle with all things. If you're always broke, that's because of something you don't understand about God wanting to help you financially. If you're always sick, you and your babies and your wife are always sick, and by the time we get you fixed, about 2 weeks go by, and then somebody else is sick. Well, it's not just because it's cold weather outside. You don't have the knowledge to get divine health to dominate your body, even though you live in cold English weather. The Bible works any place you believe it. It works in Florida. It works in London. It works in Stockholm. It works in Moscow, if you believe it, and you believe it right. So if you suffer in an area, it's your fault. Write that down. My suffering is my fault. Now, I know that's a very warm, fuzzy feeling, but it's true. Let me say it this way. My consistent sufferings, that may be a better way of saying it, things that I'm consistently suffering on. Sometimes the devil just attacks you, and that's just a battle one. But some things that's over and over, like some people can never make, no matter how much money they have, they're always broke. Some people, you can get the best healer. Benny Hinn can come to your house and sing hallelujah in your front room, and you still won't get healed. You'll all be sick by the time he walks out the front door. Why? It's the lack of knowledge. We don't need gifted people. We need knowledge that makes our life right. Gifted people are desserts in God's kingdom. It's not the main meal. Let me say that again. I like gifted people, especially healing gifted people. The first great healer I ever saw in my life was a woman with red hair, a redheaded woman named Catherine Kuhlman. Now, I saw a woman that was not a Miss America looking. She didn't have what you call the natural beauty, but I'll tell you, when that woman walked out, she glowed, and it wasn't because of makeup. She had an anointing from God and a gift of God, and she would, look, if you went to a Catherine Kuhlman meeting, it would go 4 and 5 hours. And today, most people get nervous when you go over an hour. And then we're not careful. People, well, they won't come back. When you got God in the room and God's working, time stops and people don't leave. Catherine Kuhlman would come in and her meetings, no joke, no joke. I was in them as a little boy. I can remember it. And you would wake up 4 hours, sometimes 5 hours later, thinking it'd only been 35 minutes. And you'd cry. I don't want her to quit. Says a little boy. I didn't know what I was talking. I don't want her to leave. I want to go hug her. I want to go touch her. I want to go see that woman. Because that thing that she had was so wonderful. That woman had a gift from God. We'll talk about that a little bit later this week. But gifted people like that is the desserts in God's kingdom. It's not the main meal by which you live by. But right now we have it backwards. We don't want to live off of desserts, and we don't want the main meal of God, and that's why there's an unhealthiness. That's why our appetites aren't right, and that's why our spiritual life and our natural following life sometimes is not healthy and not Bible ways that the Bible promises, because we have some things backwards. And that's why I'm so glad about your pastors here to make a whole week to teach the Bible. When's the last time your friend across town went to church every night of the week to hear someone teach the Bible for an hour? Brother Robert, we just trying to get them to go to church once a month. And that's why they're nuts. You ever look at people and go, why does this family have so many traumas and dramas and all the other amas that come down their life? You know, you love them, you feel sorry for them, you want to help them, you give them some money, you make a prayer for them, you pick them up, and after a while they wear you out. And then you have to run away from them to stay normal yourself, or their weirdness will get on you. I grew up in a family that made the knowledge of God the main meal for my spiritual life.
and gifted people like Benny or Oral Roberts or these kind of people that had those were just the desserts we got to go enjoy at different times. It wasn't something that I had to hold on to until I could get to the next Kuhlman meeting. And that's what the knowledge of God will do for you privately. It'll get what you see on the stage of gifted people in your private life every day, Monday through Friday, by yourself. Does that make sense? What you see on a Catherine Kuhlman stage, what you see on a Benny Hinn stage or a Bonnke stage or whatever person you're looking at that God is doing, and that's beautiful, I'm not against it, love it. I like to sit there and get blasted by God's power with 10,000 people and vibrate and shake and fall down and do I like it all. But I don't live in the O2 Center with Catherine Kuhlman. I live in a little house in Bradenton, Florida, by myself. That's where I live. Catherine Kuhlman can't even visit me anymore. She's dead. She's gone. But the God that woman served is very much alive. And that's why the Bible says here, people make mistakes or they don't have what the Bible promises them to have because they don't know the scriptures, number one. And then number two, they don't know the power of God. They don't know it. They don't know how it works, how to cooperate with it. And my opening statement was this: if you don't have knowledge, God's life to you and through you is going to be minimum to nothing. And then people are going to wake up, get mad, and say, that stuff doesn't work. Well, my first question is, why don't you find out what you're doing if it's in the Bible or not? If what you're doing is not in the Bible, then God doesn't have to show up. There is no scripture you're sitting on that's in the scriptures where it moves God to perform his word for you. You just being a nice person lighting a candle or humming down the street or planting a flower someplace in the garden doesn't make God come to your house and heal your baby. Well, I guess God doesn't like me. No, it's not like that. God loves you. But God works according to patterns and ways that the Bible says that you have in the knowledge of it. God will come and live in your house if you do what the Bible says. He will come and live in your house and be the unseen member of your family if you know how to work with the knowledge of God from chapter and verse. But you have to get it. You have to get it. Everybody still with me? Yes. Have you got the point yet? So you're not wasting your time this week or in 2 weeks when you go to another meeting or you come here on Sunday. You're not wasting your time by getting up and getting dressed and pushing through the day and come out to a meeting where the Bible's being taught, full gospel, spirit-filled teaching coming to you. It's not a waste of time. Because if you listen, then you can go home and do it, and God will show up in your house. And if you do it all the time, he'll just take over a bedroom and live with you. He'll come to your dinner table while you're all sitting there eating your dinner and start blessing every one of you. So what do you mean? That's what he did in my house. God was bigger in my house as a little boy than he was in my church. Not because my church is bad, but because I live in my house more than I live in my church. Only went to church 3 times a week. I don't know how many times you go to church, but back then you went Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And my family went to church whether it was raining or snowing, whether we were tired or sick. Sick? Yeah. They'd say, you can get healed in the prayer line tonight, so go to church. We're going to church, you can get healed, so you can go to school on Monday. So I grew up thinking, well, I've got a fever, but the pastor will zap me and I'll go to school. And that's why I had good attendance records in school, because I got healed on Sunday nights. Or if I woke up in the middle of the night on Tuesday or Wednesday, mom and grandma and my little sister would lay their little hands on me and pray the prayer of faith and curse it and say, now claim your healing. How many knows how to claim a healing? Well, I don't feel it. We didn't ask you how you felt. Rise up and claim it in Jesus' name. Well, thank God when I was 8 years old, I knew how to claim my healing. So now I'm 48 and I can go to Africa and eat strange food and not get sick. I claim my healing before I eat it. Good evening, everybody.
is trying to get your attention here. Have I got it yet? Have I got it? Hallelujah. Romans 10. Let me give you one more verse on this subject, and then we'll move a little bit further down the road. Hallelujah. I like you. You know, I don't go to church for a week very often because I don't like that many pastors. They start correcting your teaching by Tuesday night. I'm like, well, then you just teach it. Good evening, everybody. You can all smile. All right. Romans chapter 10. And we're going to read verse 2. Here's another interesting thing about knowledge and people. Paul said, I bear them record that they have zeal of God. They're passionate about God, but not according to knowledge. Now, that's the other extreme we have in the body. We have the folks I explained for the first 20 minutes here about, you know, doing their own doctrines and things. But now we got another group. They're real excited about Jesus, but they're so excited they have no discipline. They're, they're real excited, but Paul said they have the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. That's why they do stupid stuff, and it don't work. They get real excited, real passionate, real exuberant, but they have no knowledge. So all of that zeal is wasted because there's no map. Knowledge is the map to God's blessing. Knowledge is the map to God's power. Knowledge is the map to your victory lifestyle. Knowledge is the map for you. But they have real good excitement. You've probably seen them. I've been around a lot of them. Now, I don't kill the zeal. Thank God that God's zeal. You know, some people try to kill the zeal to calm them down. No, I just thought, I read that verse one day. I had a Bible school. And my Bible school was full of all kinds of exciting people from all over the world. 127 students from about 30 nations showed up the first year of Bible school. You're talking about live wires bouncing off the walls. That's what they were. They were wild. I thought, well, thank God they're excited. But boy, they did all kinds of weird things. He didn't say kill the zeal. He implies here, add knowledge to them so that that passion and knowledge can have a great result. One thing that makes people lose their passion is they're real excited for a while and nothing happens. It don't happen, and they never ask the question, maybe what I'm doing is not on the right road to bring it about. So probably in this room tonight, we got both groups. In most churches, we've got the folks that, you know, don't want to be bothered. Then you got the other folks that are so excited, but they don't have any knowledge because they can't sit down long enough to see what the Bible says and to obey the roadmap to victory. So hopefully, you'll fix those two things in your life if you're one or the other and live happily ever after. Amen? Lift your hands up just for a moment and thank God for his knowledge. Say, God, I want your knowledge. Say it out loud when I can hear it. I want your knowledge, God. I want the knowledge of God in my life. Hallelujah. All right. Well, let's go over to John the 14th chapter. And this kind of moves me down where I want to go this week with you. But I felt led of the Lord to kind of teach that for a few moments so you know that what you're doing here is not just a waste of time, but it's something good for you. The most important person after Jesus that ever walked on this earth was the Holy Spirit. The most important person on the earth today is the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not on the earth. He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you, the Bible says. Most people never make friends with the Holy Spirit. They don't know what he's like. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 16, I will pray to the Father and he will give you another comforter because Jesus is leaving the earth. But he's not going to leave us comfortless. And this comforter will abide with you forever. He's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. That's your first fact about being a Christian. You can't walk with God if you walk according to your senses. You cannot walk with the Holy Spirit and have him in your life if you're a sense-dominated person. That means if you see it, you believe it. If you hear it, you believe it. If you feel it, you believe it. You're sense-dominated Christians. Well, I don't feel him. You won't feel God that much in your life. Not by your senses. Most people, when they say they feel something, it's because the air conditioner came on above their head. What's it because the Holy Ghost blew like that? He does sometimes, but most often, he don't do that. We don't live in a sense-dominated relationship with God anymore. Are you with me? You see, Brother Roberts, I want to feel God. Well, you might feel him once in a while, but you're not going to have that same feeling all the time. Feelings, senses, are very rarely moved on by the Spirit of God. Once in a while, when God's glory is real heavy, it'll be so thick that it hits your spirit and your mind and your body all about the same time, and you can sense it like that, but that's not all the time. What do you do when your senses can't feel God? You feel lost. You feel confused. You think there's something wrong with you. No, that's not true. You heard from God today, whether you recognize it or not. God was in your life today helping you. Whether you obeyed his leading or not, I don't know. But God's not mute. But he don't talk through the five senses. He don't come down and whisper in your ear. He don't come down and make you vibrate every day he talks to you. Now, if you ask me, would you want that? Yeah. But do you get it? No. Do you get mad? Not anymore. Because I learned how to hear from God and walk with God without my senses ever being, you know, moved upon. He said, the Holy Spirit, they can't receive the Spirit of truth because they can't see him. That's why your unbelieving friends think you're nuts. They go, what do you mean, the Holy Spirit? What do you mean the Lord told you? That's why they make fun of preachers. So they get them on TV and they'll say, the Lord told me. And the interviewer will go, he talks to you? And if you're not careful, you allow that intimidation and the laughing of the studio audience to make you go, well, you know. So it's going back, yeah, he don't talk to you? What's wrong with you? And that's the way you should be with your friends. I mean, in a polite way, but don't take that anymore when you have something that's real and you're doing it the Bible way. Say, well, you heard from God? Yeah, I did while I was drinking my Starbucks coffee. What did you hear when you were drinking your Starbucks coffee? You probably were still complaining you had to get out of bed. Good morning, everybody. And they don't know him either. Notice, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. The Holy Spirit's number one place where he lives in the earth is in your belly. The number one place the Holy Spirit dwells is in you. My subject this week is the Holy Spirit and your relationship with him. That's a broad title, but we'll get into it a little bit closer. The Holy Spirit dwells mainly, 90% of the time, in you. When you come into a room like this, all you coming together and begin to worship in God and open up your, moves this room. In other words, it's a cold, naked room. The Holy Spirit don't live in a room, he lives in you. So sell it tonight. The Holy Spirit doesn't live in a steepled building. They may have his name all over the wall in that building, but he don't go where his name's on the wall. He goes where he's been received and welcomed in your life. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. And he doesn't leave even if you don't feel him anymore. The Holy Spirit does not get excommunicated or evicted from your life just because today wasn't a perfect Christian day. He don't get mad at you and walk out of you. He stays right with you to comfort you, to lead you, to guide you, to show you, and to help you. So sell it today. The Holy Ghost is not ever going to leave you unless you kick him out. So you don't have to feel him to know that he's there. He lives mainly inside of you right here. Is he inside of me when I'm eating pizza? Yep. Is he inside of me when I'm outside playing soccer or football? Yep. Is he with me when I'm on a date with my wife? He's right there in the middle of the table watching and blessing. He doesn't leave. Does he leave when I have a flesh out day? No. He just says, well, we'll have to work on that. He don't leave you because, now watch this. He don't even leave you if you commit a sin. He stays right there to recover you. He's not that easy to get rid of once you invite him in. A lot of people have been told the Holy Ghost, if you say the wrong word. Now, I want you to grow up and learn how to live properly and live righteous and live good. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes we walk around where we think the Holy Ghost is going to get so grieved, he'll just walk away. He was sent to help you, not run from you. The Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus to help you. So the number one place you need help is when you make a mistake or when you're confused or your flesh has overpowered you today for whatever reason. He don't get mad at you. He may be saying, we're going to work on this, but he's not going to leave you. Sell it tonight. The Holy Ghost is not going to leave you if you make a mistake. Your friends may leave you. Some churches may kick you out. But the Holy Ghost, let me give you a Psalms verse. He's your present help in the time of trouble. He doesn't run off. It says he gets closer to you. So I want you to settle today that the Holy Spirit likes you. He lives in you. And he's come to do to you and for you what Jesus said he was going to do. Let me finish my verse. Are you still with me? Now, I know I challenged some of your traditions right there when I said, even if you sin, he won't leave you. My friend, if you make a mistake or sin, you need his help right then. The Holy Spirit is not what my grandmother called a fair-weathered friend. When the weather's good, he's real close. When the weather's bad, he runs away. He sticks both in the good times and the bad. So don't ever think that your helper leaves you in trouble. He starts helping you if you let him when you're in trouble. Can you say amen? Amen. Did I help anybody there? Yes. Sometimes we just need to remember and tell your children this too. God does not run away from you when you're in trouble. He's a good dad. He sticks with you. He'll recover you. He'll tell you what to do. And if you listen to him, he can get you out of trouble faster than you got into trouble. If you listen to him, he says, he dwells with you and he shall be in you. Praise God forever. Let's go to John chapter 7. Everybody still with me? Hallelujah. John chapter 7. Let me find it real fast myself. John chapter 7. And verse 37. Just to highlight this for you again. Jesus stood up and cried, saying, if anybody's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. If he believeth on me, as the scriptures. Now notice, Jesus is telling you, as the scriptures tell you. Not as your own thinking or your relative's thinking. As the scriptures say, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Holy Spirit gives you strength from inside, not the outside in. So when you're going through trouble, you can't go to your senses to find stability. You can't go to your senses to find peace. You have to go on the inside of you, where he lives, where that river of life comes from, the qualities and the virtues and the power that gets you to have victory in the midst of the storm. You know why there's not very many what I call national ministries in some nations? Because most ministries can't handle the warfare of being a national voice and an example of God to a whole nation. Because of the bombardment of the principalities, carnal thinking, arrogant intelligence, and all that goes on. Because when you do that, there is very little moments of comfort in your natural, physical body and mind. People ask me all the time, why aren't there more Benny Hinn's or more Brother Copeland's or more whatever? Didn't God call them? Oh yeah, he called them. You might be one sitting here today. You may be one of those people that God spoke to in your life somewhere. So I want to use you on a national platform, on a public platform. You know how many preachers I have talked to because they read my general's book and it convicts them? And they write me emails or show up at my... I had a guy fly 3,000 miles to see me for 5 minutes. I thought you could have just called me and saved your money. Because I wanted to ask you in person. He flew 3,000 miles from California to Florida to talk to me for 5 minutes. When he got there, I finally said, well, I'll take you out to lunch. I didn't know you were coming. He just showed up. He goes, the Lord told me when I was a little boy, I was supposed to be a heathen evangelist, and he gave me a vision. Why hasn't that happened to me? And I asked him three questions. Then I talked to him for about 20 minutes and took him to lunch. I said, number one, you are sense-orientated. Your whole world of how you relate to God is out of your senses. If you only know God through your senses, God can't use you and bless you very much. He can't put you on a national platform or on a public platform if you walk with him according to how you feel. And this church has called people in it. It's an apostolic church. That means this church will have more called ministries in it than other local churches. It's the nature of them. And some of you sitting here have been asked by God to do things in your life, and you wonder, why has it happened? Because you only know God by how you feel and what your senses are. If you ever get a chance, ask Benny Hinn, what's it like to be the top hidden evangelist in the world right now? Ask Reinhard Bonnke, if you ever get a chance. Mr. Bonnke, what's it like to stand in front of 1 million people in Nigeria and preach the gospel and do miracles? What's it like? How do you do it? Do you feel anything when you're up there on that stage with 1 million people screaming, heal me and save me? Do you feel anything? Ask them that first. What do you feel on that platform? And 9 times out of 10, if they're honest with you, nothing. I asked Bonnke that when I was having lunch with him. I reached over and tapped him on his chest like that. I said, when you're on that platform, do you feel anything? He goes, most of the time, nothing. And he laughed. He goes, the only thing I feel is the sweat running down my shirt and down my pants. He goes, if you ask me what I feel, that's what I feel. I said, well then, what do you do with no feeling? He goes, Roberts, I have not had a feeling in a long time. Ask most Christians. When have you been with God? Well, I've not felt him for a while. And the Holy Ghost is trying to help you, but because you're only aware of your senses and not aware of his inward life, then you can't hear him. You can't cooperate with him. You can't flow with him. And that's why there are 10,000 British pastors not pastoring right now in this country. Because they don't feel him. It's okay when you do, but you don't live by it. I asked Benny Hinn one time. He was at my church.
I got to close. I bind that clock. I asked Benny Hinn. I said, Benny, when you were up there in your white suit, looking like a glowing angel, singing hallelujah for the 50,000th time. He's a good friend, so I can say that. I knew Benny when his pants was like this, and he used to preach with short pants like that so you could see his socks. I asked him, why do you do that? He goes, I have nice socks. I want folks to see it. You know, Benny's success had nothing to do with his intelligence. And I'm not being rude to him. He's just a regular old air boy that grew up in Canada and America that found God and found how to work with him. He really did. I said, when you're up there going, hallelujah, and there's 20,000 people singing after you, he says, you feel anything? He goes, most of the time I don't until just the very end of my service. He goes, sometimes at the very end, after 3 or 4 hours, right before I say bye, I feel something. So why am I telling you this? So you can know that you're not weird and there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing evil. Your sins have not made God walk away from you. That is not the problem. The problem is God lives in you and he comes by the inner feeling, the inner voice, the inner witness, and not by the outward feeling. If I can get that into you this week, I'm not going to hurt you. This week. See, these are guys, I can hit them a little bit harder, but you're a nice lady.
Thank you.
All right? If I can get that into you tonight, don't go by your feelings. Don't. Then what am I supposed to do? Chapter and verse. You have to build your operational mode on chapter and verse, not by feeling. It's a fantasy that we all think, well, Brother Robert, I got to feel something. Well, I'm sure you'll feel something eventually, but it may not be the Lord. I'm sure if you keep reaching for a feeling, and I don't want to scare you here, but I'll be honest with you, a false or a counterfeit spirit may show up, or your crazy natural flesh may show up and try to be real religious and capture you. Good preaching, Brother Roberts. Now, tomorrow, I want to talk about 18 points. So, how are you going to do that? But I'm going to focus only on one group of them. When the Holy Spirit lives in you, you bear 9 fruits. The indwelling of the Spirit begins to produce Galatians 5 for you. But when you get Acts 1:8, when he empowers you, he gives you 9 gifts to get victory with. Did you know that? All right, now let me ask you one question. Where in the Bible does it list the 9 gifts of the Spirit? And we got one lady that knows it. Just think, do you know where it was at? Do you know where the Bible lists the 9 gifts of power? Say, well, I know they're in the Bible. Well, I know that too. What part of the Bible? The Old Covenant or the New Covenant? If you line up 100 pastors from different denominations and ask them that question, do you know where the 9 gifts of the Spirit are? I'll tell you, no. That's the fruits. These are the gifts. Yeah, all right, I'm just playing with you. Most of those pastors, 60% of them, wouldn't know what's 1 Corinthians 12. If you ask the 40 left over, can you write the 9 gifts on a piece of paper? And here's what you'll find. Love, miracles, visions. Seriously. I'm serious. And you get down to maybe about 10 of the 100 that can list 9 of them. And then you'll lose half of the 10 with this question. Do you know how to get them to manifest?
And that's why the European church is dying. And that's why many of our Western churches today are dying. That's your pastors. If the pastors don't know it, then what in the world does the sheep know? Good evening, everybody. 18 power-packed points. Just because you let the Holy Spirit live free in you. Free. Doesn't cost you a dollar or a pound. Just learn what the Bible says, and you'll see all of a sudden your character will start getting better. And all of a sudden, your weird, goofy, powerless, unvictorious life starts changing. And all of a sudden, something wild and good happens to you. And that's God's plan for everybody, including your children. And so this week, we're going to look at the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit in a way that maybe you never looked at them before. Because most of them talk about it in a very casual, kind of informative, intellectual way. I'm going to approach it by a power way and a life-producing way, and not just something real sweet and nice and informational. Information don't change you. Revelation does. And we want the revelation of God to come to you this week. And tonight I wanted to open up and lay out the foundation of why this week is important with the knowledge of God, and to talk about the Holy Spirit and to give you a little insight of where we're going this week. And I don't want you to, because every night it'll get better. It'll get better. It'll get stronger. It'll get deeper. And all of a sudden, little things that you missed or don't have quite right in life, the Holy Spirit will highlight to you while I'm teaching, and things will just start getting better and getting corrected, and all of a sudden, they'll work through you a whole lot better next week. I believe that. Not because I'm special, just because I'm going to be the vessel he's going to use this week, and I'm going to do my best to yield to him and let him speak through me in ways that you need it to become a better, wider Christian right here in this country that God loves so much. Amen. You ready to pray for you now? I know you've worked all day. I'm going to preach the everlasting gospel tonight. That's on Friday. Friday night we'll preach the everlasting gospel. Is that all right? You didn't quite say amen on that. Maybe you want to vote on that and tell me on Wednesday if that's okay or not, all right? I realize you've worked all week. You've got children go to school. I don't want to wear you out. But how many enjoyed the introductional and the beginning? Is sound something good you want to hear? All right. Father, we thank you tonight. And we've opened up this Bible week where we're going to honor the Holy Spirit with all of his truths and paths and operations. And we are believing that this week, by the time we ended on Sunday morning, that there will be another group of people that will be cannot be easily controlled by the natural. Not to be easily controlled by circumstances. But something good will explode inside of them. And they'll become the leaders of this great country and community. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Give God a good shout if you would. We'll give it back to the pastor.